So we need to do this recording as per this requirements of SEBI. So we'll just do that recording and then we can just start with the session.
Yeah.
Keep it on. Yes. Okay, so morning, everyone. Myself, I'm Ramesh Iyer, CFO of the company. Welcome everyone to here. And you know, to begin with, I'll just give a brief, you know, overview of the growth drivers that we have. Maybe a couple of minutes, I'll just spend time in terms of see where our growth opportunities are there for the company as a whole. Followed by division specific deep dive into each of the divisions that we have. So fundamentally, we look at, you know, there are three broad growth opportunities that we see in current times. One is this, you know, this trend that is happening across the globe on renewable space. So there's a huge amount of focus on solar installations, on the wind installations, and clearly we are able to see a high amount of spends happening on the renewable space. For us, how does it impact us is that, you know, if you look at this solar or wind installation, you need, you know, cables, you need conductors, and also you need part of the oils that we have. The cables are, you know, largely used for generation at different places during the solar panels and also in the wind installations. And the way the renewable happens is that, you know, the place of generation is one and the place of, you know, consumption is different. So you need to transmit the power from one place to another place where you need, you know, conductors in place. So that's other division that we have. And with all this, you know, transmission lines being set up for this kind of electricity transmission, you need transformers, the step up the transformer and the step down transformers. And, you know, one of the ingredients of the transformer is also your transformer oil. So we are present in the transformer oil. So the entire space of renewables is likely to create, you know, a good amount of opportunities for our business, for the product lines that we operate into it. And in India, we are the largest when it comes to the renewable space. So we're poised to, you know, tap opportunities coming our way from the global front as well. The second big area of, you know, growth, level of infrastructure spends that is increasing. You see many countries have, you know, increased their spends on infrastructure. And wherever you see more infrastructure happening, you will see a lot of power getting consumed, a lot of electricity consumption that is happening. You see a lot of places where public transport is getting upgraded. You see, you're able to see metro lines coming up in countries. India, you see, take for example, look at Australia, for example. We have been the, you know, supplier of cables for the Sydney Metro, and, you know, other areas, you know, Brisbane, Adelaide Metro is all coming up. That also we see an opportunity going forward. So the space of public transport infrastructure spends is also a big area, giving us a good amount of growth opportunities. You see the act signed recently in the US on inflation reduction is also talks about, you know, infrastructure spend. So that also pays a good opportunity for our businesses and divisions that we have. The third one, as we are also, you know, looking at it, is on the entire 5G rollout across the globe. 5G and the data centers and the networking requirements, safety related issues, these actually present us a good amount of opportunity for our cable businesses. And what it not only needs the fiber optic cable, but also need a hybrid cables, which have copper with it. So our range of cables, and as we deep dive into our, you know, cable division, you know how spread it is and how it's able to tap the opportunities coming our way. So these are, you know, a very broad, high level, you know, opportunities that we see, you know, impacting us and giving us a positive upside into the future. I just take a deep dive into each of our divisions that we have. It's data is already shared in the corporate presentation, which is part of our website. But just to take you through, we broadly have three divisions. One is the conductor division, one we have the cable division, the oil division. If you see on the conductor division, what has happened is that we've clearly seen a transformation journey of this division over the last decade. If you look at the division actually started way back in 1958 as the first division of this company. And if you look at even at 2014, we were close to about 1,800 crores. largely operating in one type of conductor, which is the ACSR type conductors, and now dominantly in the domestic market. What you've seen over the years is that now this product was getting too much commoditized, you know, with a lot of domestic players there and competition, pricing there. And therefore, we felt a need to diversify our product lines. And as you see, you know, in this transformation journey, we've introduced a premium products over the next several years. One of the premium product talks about is the HTLS, which is the high transmission and low sag. So just to for a layman to understand what happens is that as the electricity passes through the conductor, you know, if you need more amount of electricity to pass through the same electric, you know, towers, you need a high transmission. And places like, you know, Mumbai, Delhi, etc., where there's a lot of population coming into the city, the requirements for electricity increasing, you know, having difficult right of way because you can't keep on adding infrastructure for the towers. The space is a constraint. So how you can use existing infrastructure of towers to transmit high amount of electricity. So we have specialized into that particular type of conductor, which is HTLS conductor, which helps us to transmit high amount of electricity within the limited you know, towers that we have. And also
in high transmission, low?
Low sag. Low sag is that even if there's a high transmission, the conductors doesn't appear like a U shape, you know, because if it's down, then you need ground clearances. The, you know, people and the transport will be going, so it will still be, you know, straight there. Low sag.
Function of the weight of the cable.
Weight, and also the composite core which is there inside. So there is a composite core inside which actually holds this conductor there. So despite a high transmission, it's able to, you know, remain flat. So that's something is one of our key product, you know, there. And this particular product, not only we supply the product, we also give a solution to our customers. And by solution, I mean that, you know, the requirement would be just to have this transmission line from place one to place B. What will be the design of that thing? You know, how much, you know, power outage we need to minimize, because in places like Mumbai, you can't go for power outage. So without disturbing your electricity, how do you, you know, design the entire system? It's all, you know, part of the turnkey project. So we get into this EPC for our product lines, where we are specialist into the development of the product, the design phase, and also we handle the turnkey solutions for that thing. You know, managing the labor who are there, you know, is could be about 100, 150 kilometers of lines to be laid. It could be about mountainous terrain, it could be about railway stations, you know, it could be about highways, etc. So we've been specializing this particular turnkey solutions for the product that where our product is going to be used. So we don't do other turnkey solution, but wherever this kind of product is involved, that is where we are specializing.
So effectively stringing of conductors over
transmission line.
Ideally, that was earlier the scope of the transmission line guys itself. They used to procure
transmission lines and the EPC players were there. But
so now it's being carved out separately by...
Yes, because we are specializing in the product. So we don't only supply the product, we are also telling them that, you know, what kind of requirement needs. So for instance, you need to ensure that transmission losses are minimized.
Sure.
And, you know, what kind of life that conductor need, whether it's need 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. So depending on the requirement, we design the product and we also, you know, help them to do that mini EPC work there.
And many of these projects are coming up from the private sector, or PGCIL also has sort of bifurcated?
All the state EPC. Electricity transmission companies, PGCIL and the state, you know, all the states have their own electricity transmission company. So most of this goes to transmission companies of the state. You know, Maharashtra, you're the Maharashtra State Electricity Transmission Company. And
because PGCIL no longer sort of breaks that up, yeah, right? It gives a composite contract. And yeah, given that it's under TBCB,
right,
it gives it to one back to back arrangement.
Yes,
EPC players. So I'm just trying to understand, then it's largely this EPC capability is largely given to state
electricity transmission company. So that's where, you know, all these contracts are. So we supply all these products to the transmission companies, the state transmission companies, and that's where, you know, this. So this is not only a product but also solution.
What's the mix between product and solution revenue for that division?
So the products we export also to countries like Bangladesh, Nepal, and in India we do a lot of this service. So a large part of it is service.
It is mainly service, and exports mainly products.
Exports is products. Yes.
How much would exports be?
Exports overall for the conductor division, we were at 45%. So this particular aspect, which is HTLS, accounts for about, you know, 20-25% of our total conductor division.
This is 45% of revenue.
45% would be total exports,
Okay.
total conductor division.
So yeah, so within conductor division, if I have to look at your revenues,
Yeah.
So out of your revenue, how much would the exports be roughly?
45.
45.
45.
So similar to this HTLS, we also have this thing called as OPGW. So for each of this, you know, electricity lines which we have, it has an earthing wire. Now what it also we do is that we put an optical fiber there. So it not only serves the purpose of earthing wire, but also helps in data transmission. And you know, this product was there by 2017, but recently in the last 2 years, so last year also, we've been getting more orders. Earlier it used to be dominated by China. Now we've been applying this product there. The third element of this premium category of conductor is all your copper conductors. And we have been the major suppliers for Indian Railways on the copper conductors. So that has also has increased the amount of premiumness which is there in this conductor division. So this three put together accounts is what we call as a premium portion of the conductor, which is about 45-50% of the overall conductor. What has also happened in this particular year is that the standard conductors, which is our non-premium conductors, we are actually seeing a good opportunity in overseas markets. So in India, as I said, that ACs are conductors was getting commoditized and the price was an issue, and you know, you're not able to get that margin and profit. But if you look at overseas, they don't only look at the price, they also look at the quality. They look at, you know, the risk framework that we have, you know, how are we hedging aluminum and copper, whether we have adequate capacity to meet their requirements, what will be our delivery times, you know, is the company reputed? So they not only look at, you know, short-term pricing, but they look at a whole quality and other parameter aspects. And there, the non-standard product, the non-premium products, which is the conventional conductors, we have been exporting in this financial year. And therefore, what you see in this year, if you look at FY22, this entire conductor division has become, you know, completely high margin profitable. So now what used to be only premium products till even last year, the non-premium products became, you know, exported. You are seeing the entire margin actually going to what you see in quarter three, 49,000 per metric ton, you know, 30,000 and 40,000. So that's what has completely transformed this, you know, conductor division in this financial year.
So earlier the standard product we were not exporting.
Earlier standard products were not exporting. Now we are actually able to tap that
And
opportunity.
how would be the profitability of standard product in domestic versus export?
Domestic is very competitive. You know, its margin is very less. But overseas, as I said, depending, so what happens, not only the product, but also depending on your delivery requirements, the specification, the margins are much higher than domestic.
In any reason, we just started this year. I mean, we have been present in this.
So as I said, this is a transformation journey, you know. So we are actually seeing opportunities. And also, if you see in US, as I talked about the, you know, global infrastructure spends, we are actually seeing a lot of, you know, demand coming up from US in terms of infra spends going up, in terms of their lines. You know, they have put their lines, you know, way back 5 to 6 decades old. So they are also feeling a need to change the transmission lines. They want China plus one. That's also helping helping our country and our business, because they want a, you know, partner besides China. So this kind of all policies, and therefore what we've been seeing that some of these macroeconomic macro environment and geopolitical thing are actually benefiting us. Look at, you know, renewable spends increasing. Now again, the Russia-Ukraine war will also see a lot of demands from, you know, European countries when it comes to renewable sources there. So we feel this is as an opportunity for us, you know, globally, with all this infra renewable spends, and over a long period of time. It's not going to be around 1 year or 2 year horizon. You know, typically this kind of cycle of infra spend you'll actually see over a 5 years and 10 years point of view.
And from a cost perspective, how do you compare globally, say, versus China?
So we are competitive in terms of China. The prices, you know, are most competitive. The only difference used to be on the duty rates. But with all this FTAs that is being signed in different countries, we are almost at parity. Today, Chinese imports into US duty is much, much higher than, you know, what India imports do. So apart from that, from cost point of view, used to be parity. But what used to make difference is on the duty with all this China Plus One and FTA that is getting more nice.
Thank you. The domestic business, are China exports, do they come into India? Are they competitive?
No, they can't.
Why is that?
So India is not, when it comes to China, Indian products are not there. So no, Modi government, what they've done is that wherever India can participate in overseas country, that's where they can also participate in our.
And they are not competitive also. They will not be able to compete with us actually. The
Cost.
scale which we are having actually, as far as the conductors are concerned.
Typically, 45% of sales is exports. How much of that is standard products? And is this
So
sort of
current year, almost about 85% would be just standard products there.
Of export.
Yes.
This is in 9 months of our F22.
Nine. Or I would say maybe 75 to 80. Because most of the standard products goes for export. It's just that few proportion of HTLS goes to, that too also goes to Asia, in Bangladesh, in supplying
Bangladesh, Nepal.
Bangladesh, Nepal.
And this, this is a function of the market making effort that you've done over the last few years, or this is you think that there is is this a one-off sort of one
No,
to two year kind of
we
opportunity?
had worked on this market. Not that conductors were not getting exported, but they were getting exported to Africa and these type of countries actually. And the now we were working on the North America for a long time actually. Canada, so we first we got the break in the Canada actually. 2 years back actually, we exported to Canada actually. And now this year, the US market has opened up.
But this product, if you see, if you look at this journey, what has changed is that we have always been thinking ahead of time. So now things like HTLS, OPGW, copper railway conductors, the transformation journey has started much before, so that when opportunities are there, we have the product available for high transmission. Look at places like Mumbai, you need high transmission there. We have a product which is already ready. So even if you look at electrification of Indian railways, most of the electrification has happened. But what we already have a product ready is, for our fast bullet trains, the high speed trains. So we've been working on this much before. And therefore, if you look at our motto, which is tomorrow's solutions today, it says that, what is going to be anticipated customer requirements, solutions needing it, you be ready today. So that whenever there's an opportunity, you have that product over there. So all this, innovations has been there in the culture of, APAR, And as you've seen in some of the early earnings calls, has been happening over the last decades. So we look at customer requirements, design the product based on that, and ensure that our product actually meets the requirements of the customer.
What's the key difference between your cables and conductors business versus what a KEI or Polycab would do in that space?
So the mix would be different. So now Polycab and KEI, they are completely in cables. And they also there in the power cables. If you look at Polycab, they are largely into the power cables part of it. But if you look at our range of products, we are not only in power cables, and we are also into the specialized cables. So which is now your wind cables, which are there, cables that goes into special industries like mining, shipping, defense, etc. Polycab also has a high share of that light duty cables, which for our case we are just a small player now. It's about 100 crores, which we also going to
Houseware.
drive growth driver.
They are more into houseware actually. Polycab is more into houseware. Polycab, KEI, etc. They are not into conductors. And they don't have these elastomeric cables actually, flexible cables. So we have these elastomeric cables, plus we have this e-beam technology also, electron beam technology.
Yeah, can you talk about the margin differences, please, between your more premium and your more standard products?
So that's something, it's very difficult to put a number because, it all depends. You're completely into make-to-order requirements. It depends on the specification of the customers, the delivery time, the component of aluminium, copper, etc. That actually determines the thing. So it's very difficult to get a thumb rule. So within this division, there could be hundreds of different product lines which are completely thing. But if you look at a 12-month horizon, you'll get an indication of what the margin profile is there. This year we have seen a fundamental shift in the mix of the product, with not only the premium products contributing a share, but also your exports gaining. So, if you look at, couple of years earlier, you know, we were looking at some 10,000 to 12,000 per metric ton, which, you know, as now we are looking at some 40,000 per metric ton.
And what could be the sustainable number in your sense?
So what we feel is that, you know, the momentum is likely to continue. Clearly on a short-term basis, it's likely to continue with all this, you know, geopolitical macro environment tailwinds actually benefiting us. You know, so what we're guiding is that, you know, even if you look at a long-term point of view, if you eliminate all your, you know, tailwinds, which is, you know, macro, geopolitics, etc., because of the way our product mix has changed, clearly we are looking at, you know, 20 to 25,000 per metric ton on a base scale basis. And all these favorable macros and geopolitical things, if it continues, you know, whether it's China plus one, and, you know, your, you know, infrastructure spends globally there, delivery times for us, clearly it will all be an upside. And now looking at the current thing, we feel that, you know, some of these things are likely to continue, you know, because all this macroeconomic.
So out of this 4,900 crore order book in conducted business, how much would be service versus product, and what is generally the execution period for this?
Service will be in the same ratio. Like service would be about, you know, 20 odd percentage would be that, you know, HTLS product range which we have. Out of that, some of it gets service, some of it goes as a product.
44% is premium products.
44%
out of 4,800, 44% is premium products.
Correct.
And service goes with two things actually. One is the high efficiency conductor, and another is OPGW. Hmm. So there, the execution is also there actually. Project is also there.
Correct. But an execution timelines would be. Like say FY23
end. It's a continuous process, no? So it's not that you will only at the end of it. So there are milestone based.
No, I understand. But generally, say if you get a 1,000 crore order, what is the typical execution period? Is it a 12 months, 15 months?
That depends on the area. So now what happens is that, you know, from here to, let's say, you know, you go to 150 kilometers away, and then for each line you need to, you know, remove the conductors and put the HTLS, you know, and get your right of way, ensure power outage is not there, and then it keeps on happening. So it depends on the.
Roughly 4,800 crore will be 7 months order.
Yeah.
Okay. Give and take.
Yeah. That's what
I mean.
The service level will take its own different time, but overall, this will be 7 to 8 months. So that's what we see on the conductor division, you know. And then if I go to this cable division, here, as you see here in this slide, you know, we are there into power cables, we are there into house wires and cables, we are there into elastomeric cables, which is all this, you know, special application cables going to solar, wind, as I said, you know, defense, shipping, etc., rolling stock, you know, railways. And then we have this e-beam irradiated cables. So we have OFCs and we have the specialty hybrid cables. So here we see multiple growth drivers within this cable division. First is, as I was talking about, this renewable space. We are the largest domestic player when it comes to renewables. So
what would be the other competitor here?
On wind, we have this universal cables. In solar, there will be other players. Wind is entirely universal, and now we are having some about 70-75% market share on the wind segment. And we have approvals from global customers who are there in this segment.
And is there an import here, or it's largely procured domestically?
No major.
And in terms of solar, what would be our market share and other players?
About 40-odd percentage, yes.
And other domestic players here?
Should be around, you know, don't have the exact numbers.
No, can you just help us with some names here?
Solar would be what? Polycab.
Polycab and Polycab.
So, but we still have a 40% market share in solar
in India.
And here, do we see any imports, or again it is
domestic? No, yeah, domestic only.
You don't have Polycab and KEI entered later, or they were there all along, but you had a first move?
They have entered later. Still, they are not having the e-beam technology actually.
Can you find the advantage of the e-beam technology?
So this e-beam, how it works is that there are actually three advantages of this e-beam. You know, one is that it has a 50-year life. So we we have this e-beam for our power cables, for solar cable, and also for the house wire. So on the house wire, what we say is that it has a 50-year life of the product, which means that if you put install in your room, you know, 50 years you don't have to worry about it. It has capacity to carry extra current by 50%, which means if the normal wire can carry up to 70 degrees, this wire can actually take a load of 105 degrees. And this actually we tested and you know show as part of various demos to our customers there. And third thing is that it's melt resistance, which means that the insulation takes much more time, much hours longer to insulate.
It will not get short circuited.
Yeah. Short circuit resistance. And this technology, we are the only company to have in the house wire segment, which, you know, currently we are expanding. So we've hired a brand ambassador to promote this particular product. We have been having this product only in two states in India, Kerala and Gujarat. Now we are expanding to other southern states. We're expanding to west, we're expanding north and the east. And the unique and differentiated proposition we have is this e-beam product there.
In terms of pricing, how different we would be?
It would be about 4 to 5% higher. That's it. Yeah. But in terms of safety features, it's multiple high.
So any reason why other players have not been able to crack this product?
They don't have as of now.
No, I mean,
they're the e-beam technology. They're not having the e-beam technology.
For the house wire.
We were already having e-beam technology.
But can they develop that sort of thing? Because the price difference...
People are trying. India, anybody is successful, actually, is 10 more people will be after him, actually.
Correct.
And nothing is secret, actually.
Correct.
So this technology actually helps us to become a differentiated...
But it takes time, no? Actually, we will have the first mover advantage.
So what is e-beam?
So e-beam is an irradiation, radiation thing, which actually, this radiation happens. And, you know, when it passes on the cable, the properties of the cable... gives this differentiated, you know, benefit that we have.
See,
able to have a 50-year life.
Cable, inside there is a conductor and on top there is a insulation is there. So for insulation, there are two technologies, but the original technology is the steam technology. Through steam, actually, they will compress the insulation, actually, which is there. And now this, through electron beam, actually, the electrons will be bombarded and the cable will be passed through that, actually. So through electron beam, the insulation will be made, because of which actually this, what he said, that three properties which are there actually.
Yeah. 20.
The melt resistant or it can carry 50% more power.
So to a consumer, what it comes is a complete safety. So, you know, if I can show you a demo that of a normal cable, flames happen, melt happen, and this wire will not happen. Clearly, 9 out of 10 people will opt for this, because you know, you just do wiring once, you know, in what, 10 years, 15 years. You don't want to change the structure of your room because of something happening. And if this property is giving this benefit, everybody would like to. And therefore, if you see our, you know, we have been giving all this demos to various electrician to influencers that you see here. You know, the idea is that if people understand the benefits of this, there's high probability that they would buy it, then you know, not buy.
See, what happened actually, when we took over this Uniflex, actually, Uniflex Cable, which was a Sikh company actually, way back in 2008. So that time we had an option actually. The turnover of the company was only 100 crores actually. And it was having power cables, elastomeric cables, etc. actually. Then the most of the competitors like Polycap, KEI, etc., they were going for the EHV side actually, the high voltage side actually. So we said that a lot of players are going on that side. Actually, we'll go on the specialty product side. So that is why we went into this elastomeric cables actually, which was being used by railways, and railways were using elastomeric product cables with the old technology, and they were just shifting to e-beam technology. They wanted the e-beam technology to come actually, and they were just shifting. So we thought that we'll set up the e-beam, and so that is how we set up first two e-beams. And now there are four e-beams are there actually, electron beams are there.
Is it a proprietary?
So we brought it for elastomeric cables actually, and now we are using it for other products also.
People can
elastomeric cables.
They are flexible cables.
Correct. But are there other Indian players who are competing with us?
There are one or two, Radiant is there actually. It's a closely held company actually.
Okay, Radiant
cable. Radiant actually.
And what are the revenues now from this e-beam housing segment, and when did you start? So how is the scale up?
Started 3 years ago, started with 20 crores, it went to 40 crores, 60 crores. And last year, we were about 120 crores. Again, it was largely into Kerala and Gujarat. This year, we are able to see about 200 crores.
This year, we'll be doing 200 crores. Next year, we'll be doing 350 crores.
This is the house cable business.
House.
If you see from March 22, my distributor presence has gone from 19 to close to 100. Retail from 300 to 1500. We were largely into 2 active states in March. Now we are into 13 states. So we are actually setting up all this infrastructure, teams, channels has been expanded, getting expanded. And, you know, we'll actually, this will be a continuous journey over the next 3-4 years to, you know, build this channel and then supply the product.
There's a large margin difference between like normal cables versus the EVM. So it's easy, the pricing difference is 4-5%, but is that all coming to your...
It will come to the bottom line, but currently we're also into this expansion mode. You know, you will have your teams getting a, we have a separate team for the LDC, but eventually it will, the top line difference will actually go to the bottom.
And we are trying to give a differentiated product. We are trying to say...
It will show in your gross margin. It will go down to EBITDA, but it will show in your gross margin.
Yes.
It will go even to the EBITDA, because what happens, a lot of this, variable cost will come down as the scale goes up. Today, this segment is 100 crores, then talking about 500 crores, then possibly, you know, fuse rate 1,000 crores. So we'll actually get the economies of scale there.
So your scale up on the cables division has been very strong alongside your conductor division as well. So could you differentiate between how sustainable this is? And regarding how much of this is one-off because of some projects that would have come on stream because it's specifically, and how much of this is, you know, it will keep on flowing? Because for once, we know that there are a lot of projects that are going to come in the segment that you focus on, renewables and solar. But just wanted to understand, like, why the sudden jump in the...
So, you know, the cable, if you see this, there's nothing one-off in the entire cable business. You know, and I know we are growing continuously there. What is happening is that we were just very small proportion when it comes to exports 1 year or a couple of years before. Now we are actually seeing a huge opportunity in the export market of cable. I know, and you know, there also, as I said, largely because of, you know, these factors on renewables, you know, infra spends, etc., we're actually seeing a good opportunity there in the export. So we are the largest from India when it comes to the certificate of compliances for supply of cables in the United States. It says a United UL approval you need, and we have the maximum certificate of compliances for supply of cables. So we were almost negligible supplying in US, you know, even till last year, half year one, which is the H1 of FY22. And now we have been the highest in terms of supply to the United States. So that's where we see the opportunities clearly growing up, and, you know, we are adding capacities for our cable business. So this run up that you see is all because there's no one off here, but it's completely because of, you know, the market is so huge. And if you look at all the three divisions, the addressable market in cable is much higher than even the combined of oil and conductors. The cable, you are actually, you know, as you've been talking in the earlier calls, the United States imports about 20 billion cables in a year. And if you look at our size, it's just about 1,200 crores. So the opportunity is immense, you know, and we have a wide range of products there to tap this opportunity. So we don't see this as a one-off. We see this in a journey over the next next decade. And no, that's the reason behind all them stepping up CapEx in different ways.
Could you just tell me with the CapEx, how was it and how is it going
towards
and utilization level?
So the CapEx, if you see, a couple of years earlier, we used to be average around 100, 125 crores
at
a company level. And now this year it's going to be over 150 crore and, you know, likely to be about 300, 350 crore over the next, you know, 1 year to set up facilities for cable and conductor division.
In terms of volumes, like how many cables can you produce that way? Like maybe 300.
So our asset turnover would be about seven to eight times, depending on the type of cable and conductor, you know, for every rupee of fixed.
Is this company level asset?
Company level, but largely it will go into the cable and conductor. For our oil business, we are not likely to spend the big capex that we already have capacity and really maintain. But large part will go into the cable, followed by the conductor division.
So this 350 crores will be spent in FY24 or spread over a couple of years?
Large amount will happen in FY24 and the capacity will be ready by end of FY24 and 25.
And what would be our current capacity utilization in cables and conductors?
Current cable will be about 80-odd%.
And peak can be?
Peak can go to 100. So now when talk about peak is 100, then no, that's where 80 will come.
Okay.
So still have what we have very comfortable at least for this by 23 and 24. By this time we incur the money on capex, it will be helping us for FY24-25.
Okay. And here what percentage of our revenue is export cables overall?
Cable, if you see this quarter has been 50%. I know it was just about 25-30% last year, but now it's jumped to 50%. And you know that trend is what we are seeing going forward. For 25-30%.
Demand is driven by the renewable. What has happened actually? Everywhere the renewable is happening because of the ESG program and the to bring down the carbon footprint. Earlier, we were not having any market in the developed countries because there the setup was already ready. But these developed countries also, they are now moving away from the conventional power generation to renewable. So everywhere, because of the renewable, a lot of demand is coming up. Plus the US, as he said, actually, they are not spent for almost 50 years. Their infrastructure was made about 50 years back. And we always used to, people used to say that now it will come actually. And when the US, anything in US is at a very big scale. So that is what is happening actually. US is, they had spent 5 decades ago and now, plus there also the renewable work is going on.
Is it fair to say that this jump from 25-30% of sales to 50%, that incremental 25% is all North America?
Mostly North Australia, America. As I said, no, supplying cables to metro.
You can say around 80% America.
Largely. And there, how do we sort of get our product? So while we have the certificates, so is it a B2B channel or you directly interact with?
No, see, yeah, there the problem is like, see, there are about 3,000 utilities in US. Mm-hmm. Out of that, 30 utilities are big utilities actually. And balance 2,970 utilities are small utilities. So small utilities actually they take from the distributors. So we are working with, at present we are working with 2-3 distributors who are there, who are taking product from us and they are stocking in their godown and supplying.
And we are not planning to work with large utilities directly.
No, we will be. We will be working with large
utilities. As well as
And how is the profitability overall, say domestic versus, you know, US? Like in conductor, we saw, you know.
Here also profitability really.
The domestic.
Very big difference is there actually.
The domestic power part is the same like the conventional conductors of domestic, you know, with competition, price and all this. But some of this in domestic specialized application will have a better margin, like shipping, navy, defense, you know, rail, locomotives, coaches, etc. Which comes under the elastomeric range. So the domestic part of the power cable would be competitive.
So how we see overall blended profitability here in this segment?
So overall cable, if you see, has been just gradually increasing. So before COVID, we already used to be a double digit. After COVID, you know, it came to mid single digits. And now if you see quarter one,
1920, we were at around 10%.
Yeah, we were already there. Now it's, if you look at quarter three, we're already at 12%. And YTD for 9 months, we are about 9.8%.
Long-term guidance is around 11%. That is what we are doing.
I feel that we should be in double digit.
And here, how is the hedging policy? Generally, so orders are make to orders, or you know, we
largely make to orders, except for the house wire thing, which is retail. That is a retail thing, but
export, etc., is all make to
order. Everything is make to order. Make to order. Even domestic orders also, other than house wire, they make to order.
So here, is there any concept of order book, etc., in this order?
We are not giving order book actually. The order book will be close to 1,000-1,200 crores, but we are not giving order book.
What is the split between traditional power cables to elastomeric?
It will be elastomeric is around
30%
actually.
What was this about 2 years back? As in pre-COVID?
Not much of a difference actually. It was 25%, you can say.
Volume has gone up. Now the power cable, what has happened, that export has gone.
Ideally, it should have gone up, no? Because all of this is exported to the North American.
What is also being exported is your power cables also. Power and so.
Is it up?
It's not that only elastomeric is exported, actually. Yeah. More of power cable is exported. Cable
also gets exported.
And this is where wind. So what goes into the renewable is the elastomeric or the power cable?
Both are required.
Renewables, yeah. Power, solar. But you also export a lot of power cables.
And from an application perspective, so if you have to think it through, where in the wind turbine does this elastomeric or a power cable go? Or is it for the end, when the transmission lines for these projects windmill? Come up? Yeah.
The windmill actually goes into inside the windmill, which is the main area of that. You know, there are various cable application, but this our product goes right inside the windmill.
See, elastomeric cables are flexible cables. So wherever you require flexibility, like suppose windmill is there and some cable is attached to windmill and it is moving, then you require flexibility to that cable, then the elastomeric cable is required. The purpose of the cable is to carry the powers, but only flexibility is required. Suppose you are doing some work in the mine, and for that you want to take the cable, then you require a elastomeric cable because it requires flexibility.
Sure.
So that is the difference.
Typically, how is the pricing done? So, you know, a typical power cable is sold by the meter, what is the typical?
A kilometer.
So what is the price differential between a power cable and an elastomeric in terms of per kilometer cost? It is make to order, I understand, but just for a rule of
thumb. The elastomeric cable is costly, actually. It will have around 20% more price.
And the
real elastomeric cable, actually, which is.
And the reason that makes it more expensive is because you rubberize it.
Specialized application.
Specialized
composites to sort of.
It goes in for specialized applications.
Here also, it has a lot of designing. It's just not only product. Like if you need any cable, let's say for defense or warships or ships, different railways, locomotives, etc. It all has a little bit of design. It's not just a plain vanilla product that you can produce and sell. It's all for the customer for some specific purpose there. It needs either higher current passage or reducing losses or protection from safety or flexibility. It could be various parameters. So that's what causes this premium margin.
So the incremental on the raw material side, the incremental cost over a power cable in an elastomeric will be the braiding that's done over the cable, right?
Yeah. And also the price for your designing and technology that you do bring it. Because this is not something that, unlike the normal power cable, which can be commoditized, these are all special application cables. So there is an element of specific design and those things.
So here, how is the pricing done? Is it, project to project or?
Yeah,
project
volatility
project
and copper prices get.
So for us, there is no volatility because we completely work on a back-to-back hedge. So if you see this slide, which is a well-defined, risk management framework that we have. One of the things is clearly on the metal hedging risk.
How we do the hedging?
We don't take any risk on the metal part. The moment we get an order, depending on the terms of the contract, the firm contract or variable contract, we have a policy for hedging this metal. We completely back-to-back hedge all the metals 100%. So we do not speculate, nor we take any risk on the metal prices. If the price goes up or goes down, it will just get transferred to the customer because we have a back-to-back hedging.
And what could be our debt? So interest bearing, basically. So reported debt looks less, but it sits in, I think, payable as a form of
debt. We have that acceptances.
Correct. So what would be that number today? Debt plus about acceptance put together?
3,300
crores or something like that. That is LCA, supplier's credit.
And how we see that moving, that number moving.
So that is just, we don't even take it as a debt for our internal thing. We just take it.
That will go with the working capital.
It's just part
but
of
that the, is, I mean, interest bearing, right? Because your interest cost.
Yes, it is interest.
And it's charged also to the customer. So we know that when we have this order, what will be my interest liability, what's the period of this thing. So this interest.
So our margins, we should look adjusting this cost.
Yeah. So if you look at some of this recent thing, we also been reporting EBDT. Because sometimes what happens, because all this interest rate going up, your EBITDA will go up. Interest cost will also go up.
Exactly.
The best way to see our business is on an EBDT level. Because then it shows your true value of the business profitability going.
Okay.
Because in rising interest cost, your interest will keep on moving.
Correct. So it's a pass-through.
Complete pass. Interest is a complete pass-through, or aluminium, copper is a complete pass-through. We don't take any...
And in terms of working capital days overall, or say receivable plus inventory, because payable again would be, you know, a bit...
Net working capital, about 40 days we have across 3 days.
No, only if I have to understand inventory and receivable, how it behaves generally. What is the inventory days we carry and receivables?
Yeah, so it's different for different businesses, but on an average would be about, you know, receivables would be about 100 odd days.
Receivable will be 87 days.
87 to
87 days. But if you say cable business, actually, the inventory will be around 80 days, 80, 85 days, actually. And receivable will be close to 90 days.
Okay.
Conductor inventory will be around 60, 65 days. And receivable will be closer to 100 days.
On the margin side, I think you mentioned 11% long-term guidance for cables. What's the same for conductors and oils?
Conductors, as I was saying, that no, we feel that the short-term momentum definitely can continue. But on a long-term basis, we feel that even if you remove all the tailwinds, baseline, we should be about 25,000 per meter.
Oil will be 60 days inventory.
And on top of it, we'll see all this, you know, tailwinds continuing in terms of...
around 80 days.
Geopolitical things, we feel that some of these things will likely to continue, which will, you know, increase your, you need faster delivery times, you know, you're able to get higher margins. 25,000 per meter run can go up with, you know, depending on your requirement of conductors, you know, which are there. So some of those tailwinds, if it continues, this geopolitical tensions, if it continues, it's actually a benefit for our business.
So the conductor side could be a 10% OP margin going forward.
So at 25,000 is the base thing from a medium.
Per ton, actually.
Per ton.
The EBITDA margin.
Yeah.
We measure in terms of per ton for conductor, and for oil also per KL.
Conductor utilization would be how much?
Conductor is almost, you know, it's a 90% should be utilized there. But we are also increasing capacity.
This year it
will be. We won't be short of capacity for servicing that. Conductor, we are using capacity.
So if I just wanted to understand over the next 2 to 3 years, you know, on this FY23, whatever we would have achieved, what kind of growth we envisage in, you know, conductor, power, telecom, you know, base case growth should be how much?
See, conductor will grow around 15%, you can say.
Hmm.
The cable will grow more than 25%, 25 to 30%. And oil will grow around 5 to 6%.
Oil, I think we should just focus on that EBIT number, right? Because top line might be...
Similarly for conductors, therefore we measure on a per metric ton. So conductors, when we say for this 10-15% is on volume terms, because it's not value. The value will depend on your aluminium and copper.
Correct.
That's it. Yeah.
And cable is a... revenue.
Cable is a
value.
It's difficult to give quantity in cable. A different.
And oil, you said 3 to 5%.
5%. 5 to 6%.
And in oil, just quickly, if you can summarize, you know, the way you would have discussed other.
Oil, if you see about, you know, 1/3 of our business is this transformer oil, which also goes into the transformer, which is using transmission thing. So more the requirement of electricity transmission, this business, you know, will keep on growing there. So that's definitely we are very buoyant on that particular business. Apart from that, we are also into industrial oils. So high industrial activities in the country will result in high, you know, industrial oils being there. We're there in rubber process oil. We're there in the auto lubes thing. And we also supply in white oil and the process oil. So overall, we feel about 5-odd percentage increase. Of course, the auto lubes in a very long term could come under pressure because of getting into EV segment and all. But that's a very, you know, about 10-odd percentage of our total oil portfolio is there. But some of the other businesses will then overtake that thing, especially the transformer oil.
And here, what should be your capacity utilization?
Year, you know, in terms of capacity, we have enough capacity because, you know, this plant is completely fully automated.
70%, you can say. At present, 70%.
We don't this will not be capacity issues.
We can take a last question now.
Is there any inorganic opportunity you would be looking, or is there any in our space?
So there's enough thing already there in this organic thing. If you look at all the three divisions, so much thing already happens here. And you know, we've been putting capex and you know, growing that thing. There's a lot of opportunity. We are already seeing the current.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.